Okay, so today I have an interview for you with Robin Rose Bennett. She's an herbalist with decades of experience. Of course, for me, a great opportunity to pick her brain and listen to some stories from her life. She was known as the Herbal Green Witch from Manhattan. And today she lives on her big land. And I saw in the background the plants growing around her. So we talk a bit about what's growing around her, the preparations and medicines she's making and harvesting, and how she relates to the plant world. She is actually these days mainly a poet and writer. She tells stories and she's publishing her new book. You find the information in the description of this episode, so make sure you have a look at that. And it was really a really interesting conversation. I was just reminded, I was just answering an email. One of my listeners, one of you, reached out to me. And of course, I always love hearing from you with your questions and requests and interests. So there is actually, we were just touching on this topic in our conversation today, how, science, it's nice, it's great, it's amazing, but we can never forget that herbalism is mainly about traditions and experiential use of herbs. And, the science comes in a second step, to confirm mostly what we already know from our traditional use. But sometimes, studies can be interpreted in a way that creates a lot of insecurity. And I just got this email about ashwagandha and a certain form of extract that in some isolated cases caused some kind of health problem. And, is this now, should we all stop taking our ashwagandha? No, please not. If, this is just a very isolated report of some adverse effects that were not actually happening from the straight ashwagandha root powder, how it is used in Ayurveda. So, studies sometimes use isolated extracts or isolated constituents, even just, one constituent from the plant. And we all know plants have always many, many different constituents, hundreds, sometimes even thousands. So it's a very different thing to use the plant in its whole and natural form, like as natural as possible. Of course, there is minimal processing. Yeah, if we have to dry a plant to make it last longer, or in Ayurveda, what they do with the ashwagandha, because it's a root, they dry it and then they powder it, which is a really great way of storing it. And because ashwagandha is not mainly an aromatic plant, it has a smell to it. It has some aromatic compounds, definitely, but it is not. If we dry mint, we notice, the smell really changes. And of course, fresh mint is much more stronger. But these roots that have more like the sugars and the nourishing part that is stored in the root is actually an herb that we can conserve really well in powder form. Yeah, with other plants, for example, mint or fennel or whatever, if we crush it to a powder, it would evaporate off the essential oils and with it the healing constituents that we want after a certain time, of course. Now you can always use it and grind it freshly, of course, and then brew your tea. But ashwagandha, we know from hundreds, if not thousands of years of use in Ayurveda, that this is the traditional and minimally processed form of the herb, and it has been used for a long time in this form without any adverse effects, without, that we noticed, this is actually causing a liver problem or this or that. So we know this amazing safety profile of the herb ashwagandha. It's a really safe and nourishing herb. And if now, it happens that some extracts with isolated constituents, were not that carefully made or had some kind of problem and were causing some health problems in really isolated cases, which could also be an atypical reaction. And, in the end, was it actually the ashwagandha or what was it? We cannot throw out all this huge body of traditional wisdom and experiential knowledge that we have about ashwagandha because of some isolated reportings, even though it's labeled science. And of course, we should, I'm not saying, to not listen at all. Science has also pointed out many helpful and important additional information that goes beyond the what we know traditionally about the plants. So I'm also really thankful for that, of course. And mostly science is confirming the amazing uses of plants and herbs, which is really amazing to see. But yeah, as Robin also mentions in this interview, you will hear her talk about that. She cites a teacher of hers that says, you know, she has had to, you know, kind of revoke her what she said years ago about, you know, some study, some scientific finding of something, but she never had to, you know, kind of regret something that she said about the traditional use of plants, yeah, which has just so much more evidence behind it from traditional use than what we could, you know, ever find out in one single study with, you know, not even using the whole plant. Just saying, yeah, it's a different way in herbalism. Herbalism is based mainly on the traditional use of plants, and science is kind of the extra, and we have to combine both today. And this is, yeah, a tendency, a trend in the herbalism world that you can see, you know, you have to keep an eye on that. It's not useful, you know, if we lose the access to our herbs because, you know, we are afraid of them, or they were kind of tested in the wrong way and seen through the wrong lens in a scientific way. So we have to double check and, you know, try to not lose our traditional wisdom, but to use science to confirm and to make the traditional uses of herbs even safer. But, you know, not building the whole castle on it, so to say. Yeah, so this was just an email today that reminded me. So yeah, send me your questions. You reach out to me if you want to book a health consultation. I'm offering a free call, so you can check in with me and we can talk before we start. So if you're interested in that, if you're looking for advice, you find the link to my calendar directly here below this episode in the description, and you can directly book a free call with me through the link to my calendar, or you go to my website, you can see my offerings, the health consultation packages, and you can send me a message through the contact form on my website, herbalhelp.net, or of course send me an email, tamara@herbalhelp.net. And I'm also looking forward to our next class. You will also find a link to my little membership program. We have one class a month live via Zoom, so you can ask me your questions directly, or you can also watch the recordings and you get access to all the past recordings of over 20 classes and videos about how to best use herbs for health benefits and to learn more about, yeah, the wonderful healing plant world. So our topic in October is how to use and make herbal oils, from the amazing Ayurvedic oils to making oils in your own kitchen, maybe from herbs that you are harvested yourself. So if you want to learn that, check out the Ko-fi membership link here in the description and come to the class, or join the membership to rewatch the recordings of past classes. And also check out, of course, Robin Rose Bennett's book link, the pre-launch with extras and bonuses, or buy the book if it's already out there. And yeah, she will read a little bit from the book also in the interview. So let's dig into the weeds. Robin Rose Bennett. Okay, Robin, I'm so glad to have you as a guest today, because of course I love picking the brain of other herbalists, especially someone that has so many decades of experience in the field. So yeah, I'm really glad to have you and to ask you some questions today.
Thank you, Tamara. I'm happy to be here with you.
Great. So yeah, I'm super curious about your travels, because I have heard you have traveled to faraway places like Greece and Mexico. Is that right?
That is right.
Yeah, and I have also traveled a lot myself, and I find it always so horizon expanding and interesting, like how other cultures engage with nature, of course the herbal practices, but also just lifestyle and cooking and life in general. I wonder if you have made this experience too, or if you have some story to share about other places and nature interaction or herbalism?
Oh gosh, yes, we could talk about this for a long, long, long time. So let me pick out a story or two. Well, I enjoyed when I was on the island of Lesbos. I was working on my novel, and I really enjoyed connecting there with the women's cooperative. So here we are on this island, and there's a women's herbal cooperative, and little by little, they began to kind of open up to me, and we shared herbal medicines, things I brought that I shared with them, and then they showed me, things they had, and then they gave me some gifts, and I bought things from them. But seeing also what's in common is delightful too, seeing what's different, but also seeing what's in common. So, like one of the things that was really beloved there, as it is in so many places, is Hypericum, commonly called St. John's Wort, or I like to call her Joni. But so that was lovely doing tastings with those women. We had very little language in common, but we had the green language in common, the language of the herbs. And
Yeah,
oh
wonderful.
yes. And I think that there's something wondrous about, I mean, when I travel, I'm not only looking to connect with herbal people, but there is something so very blessed and special I find about plant people, an openness, because perhaps because we're all in delight over being in kinship with nature. I have found it opens us up to being in kinship with one another as well. And so, so that's always a great joy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah.
And also, it's been years now, but I really was my first 10 years as an herbalist, I lived in New York City. And that is basically the same as having every country in the entire world, like on your block, right?
Oh,
New York
yeah.
is such an international city. You have everyone with every tradition, with every cuisine. I remember, now I'm just having a really fun memory, Tamara, of I was doing a wild plant walk in the streets of New York, not even in the beautiful parks where I still do walk sometimes, but I'm in the streets literally pointing out the healing wild plants that show up. And I remember two very tall, very handsome, traditionally dressed men from a country in Africa. I no longer remember what country it was. We're talking like 30 years ago. And they see me pointing out a weed growing around a tree on a street in New York City, and they break into these giant smiles, and they come walking over, and they kind of step right into the circle of people, and they start exclaiming about this plant because they recognize this weed. It happened to be what we call in English amaranth. They were calling something like mene. And they then began saying how their grandmother put it into their porridge and this and that. So I didn't even have to travel to have international experiences. It was, so much fun.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I just love stories like that. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, so you have also worked a lot, or maybe you are still working as a mentor for students or for other herbalists who are starting on the path. I also do a lot of student mentoring, which is yeah one of the favorite parts of my work actually. I mean, talking to other people who are also super on the plant path and are excited to to venture out and start their clinical practice or start practicing in general. Do you have any gems to share or yeah from your experience of your work with student mentoring?
I mean, the magnificent thing about studying plants, besides that becomes the study of everything, right? Because once you're studying plants, you're studying soil, and then you're studying bugs, and then you're studying, mycorrhizal, filaments from the mushrooms and all of that, right? It just is never ending and fills us with wonder and curiosity. So that's a beautiful way to be in the world, right? It keeps life juicy and interesting. which too many adults let go of as they, you know, quote unquote, grow up. But one of the things in particular that I think is really vital is to keep herbalism connected to the earth. And that might seem like a no-brainer, but it isn't a no-brainer because, you know, the trend is to become more and more acceptable to the mainstream, which means falling into the trance of, you know, fragmentation and separation and reductionist thinking. So what I love, you know, to see is how the students through, well, I'm kind of doing two different things together here with this. So let me step back a minute. The students, the most beautiful thing that I see is that because the plants know who they are, they are who they are. They simply are. They don't wish they were anything other. What happens is as we become the students of the plants, and you and I know we're eternal students of the plants, they help us become who we are. And so people usually find that they get far more multidimensional healing in studying the plant medicines with me than they were expecting to. And that certainly was what happened for me when I began to study too, is, you know, here I am thinking I'm going in to, you know, learn an alternative to conventional medicine. And I find not only that, but I find whole new paradigms of ways to think about healing, of healing through nourishment, of the body not being a machine that is ready to break down at any moment, but rather being this incredible living creature that is oriented to heal, given the proper support and help on every level. And so these things stay central to my work. You know, it's easy to get, I have found it's easy to get intimidated and feel like you have to keep up with, you know, every last bit of scientific research or study or this or that. But I love what one of my elders, she's now an ancestor way too soon, Cascade Anderson Geller, a beautiful herbalist. One of the things she said that really stays with me is she said, you know, I can't tell you the number of times that I shared something from science about the plant that I was teaching about, and that I wished I could go back to the students and make corrections because of things that were found out later, assumptions that had been made in earlier studies that proved not to be true. She said, and yet I've never had to do that with the experiential wisdom that I've shared of people who have actually simply used plant medicine, shared plant medicine, grew up with plant medicine. She said, I've never wished I could go back and make corrections from that. So that really stayed with me as an affirming and honoring thing of the value of our experiences and our oral traditions, and that, you know, not everything is, very few things really are reducible to individual components or constituents. They're instead, you know, it's much more, for me, it's much more about the whole plant physically and the whole plant spiritually, because each plant's spirit medicine will have a mirror in its physical medicine. Like, for example, we might look at something like ginkgo biloba leaf being used for memory. And then we might think about, well, hey, this is the oldest flowering tree on the planet, right? It's like 200 million years old. It has a lot of memories, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a spirit of the plant that matches the physical medicine of the plant. Right. Or, you know, I could give you a million examples, but perhaps I'll take a breath and you might want to come in with a comment or a question of your own.
Yeah. This is super interesting.
Especially because I was having this in the back of my mind, no? This you also said kind of this, no, feeling insecure or almost discouraged from, you know, all the knowledge that's out there that no, that we seem to have that we have to acquire somehow, you know, to be able to give herbal advice or not practice as an herbalist, but that it's I also try to transmit that it's you know, it's such a big field of study where really we never stop learning, and
Never.
it's not about, you know, memorizing or no, knowing all the scientific facts, no? And yeah, so I totally agree with you in that, and you said it really beautifully, that yeah, there is first the experiential knowledge and empirical knowledge about plants and the direct experience, and you know, science comes much later. You know, science is just this little extra, you know, to yeah, confirm, look at it through a different lens or whatever, no? It will never
And
capture
also,
the totality, right, of
right, and it can often confirm things that herbalists have understood through observation for years, right?
exactly.
Whether we're talking about indigenous wisdom, you know, going back thousands of years, or we're talking about even our own relatively short, you know, level of experiences of, you know, whether you've been an herbalist for 10 years and I've been one for 30, or, you know, whatever it is. Right, but from observation and also from deep respect of the plants, deep respect of their complexity. You know, just like you would, you know, like you and I would sit down together. Hopefully we'll have that chance when I'm in Portugal, you know, that you and I would sit down together and over a cup of tea or a glass of wine or, you know, whatever, we would get to know each other. That's how, in my opinion, what I would think of as real herbalists work with plants. They get to know the plant in all of its, you know, generous magnificence, right? Whether we're talking about a dandelion or an ancient olive tree, right? Each plant, like each person or each animal or bird or stone, right, is its own being. And they have so much to teach us.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, it's really yeah, also I think I have observed also in clinical practice, no, that if you want to help someone, one, no, connect someone with the herbs they, you know, they might benefit from, there is often a lot of fear of the unknown and a lot of confusion, and it is, yeah, it is probably of this lack, no, of a, yeah, of a direct experience with the plant.
And we have
And
been taught not to trust our own senses, our own
exactly.
instincts, right? So if you are trying to help a client to trust, you know, their sense of like, I'm drinking this tea now that you recommended to me, Tamara, and it feels really good, or, you know, it doesn't feel right, right? To help someone learn to trust that. And that's, this is not an either or proposition, right? It's not like instead of, you know, acquired knowledge, research knowledge, that kind of thing. It's both and, but it's just not hierarching, you know, the proven, quote unquote proven over the known. Right. One of my other teachers, Kiwa Dinokwe, said, you know, what's true is true and what isn't isn't. And no amount of, you know, talking about it will change that. What's true is true and what isn't isn't. Right. And we can't always prove what we know is true. Like, can you prove love exists? Can you prove it's a powerful healing force? Well, maybe not, but yet it's definitely true. And, you know, in my clinical work, I work a lot as a writer, and just it's who I am. I work a lot through story, helping a person find the story, of their own body and experience, and how their biography has become, you know, their biology. That's a quote of Caroline Mace. These things help people heal too. So it's not only the herb, it's, you know, it's a multifaceted approach of a whole person. So one of the things I was taught that I do pass on is we don't treat conditions. You know, wise wild women herbalists, we tend to whole people, and those people come to us with certain conditions, you know, with certain challenges. And I grew up as an herbalist in the wise woman tradition, but Tamara, I've kind of revised that for myself, and I now say I practice in the wise, wild woman tradition.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I work a lot with the wild plants. I work a lot with the common weeds, the abundant common weeds. They are the hardiest plants on the planet, right? And so they help us to be hardy and strong and what's that word? Irrepressible, right? They can't be stopped. Mm-hmm. And when we take enough of them into us, whether it's nettles or it's dandelion or it's yellow dock, you know, we can't either. And the world needs us to come into our strengths, because all of our healing now is in a context of a much larger picture of cultural and social healing that absolutely must happen, because it's now or never, you know, to shift the paradigms of how we're living on our beloved, beautiful planet, right? And so in order to step up and share our gifts for the benefit of all beings, we also have to be strengthened and nourished. And the plants really excel at doing this for us and with us. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, beautifully said, really. Yeah. Yeah, I'm also curious, what is happening right outside you? You are sitting there in your beautiful garden. Have you been harvesting something recently? Or what calls your attention right now in nature around you, where you are at the moment?
Right now, the Artemisia vulgaris, mugwort, is cronewort, is, those are nicknames and plant names for all the same plant, is in the absolutely most magical time to harvest this plant. So that's high on the list, flowering mugwort and budding mugwort. Some is actually hanging right now on my clothesline. I'm looking at it. There's some clothes and some flowering mugwort because it's nice and shady there. I am sitting with my back to, you know, I cut my teeth as an herbalist. I don't know if you know that expression in Portugal, but I started out as a, you know, as a herbal green witch in Manhattan, the beautiful island of Manhattan. And now I live with 3,000 acres of state protected state forest that starts at my back door. So it's a little different. And in the forest right now is also like goldenrod is blooming at the edges. That's a big plant of right now for Northeast herbalists like me. And it's also kind of that, it's like, right, we are recording this a week before the autumn equinox. And it's really the time when we gardeners and herbalists are entering into the garden, looking at, okay, it's time to harvest everything, right? And you know, whether I'm making basil, like I wanna make pestos today, gather more artemisia, maybe make some oils and tinctures. Kind of have to look, and at this point, I'm always like looking at what do I have and what do I need, so I'm not just making more of what I already have, and that gets a little tricky when there's so many. But an apprentice recently helped me make a list of all the things I made last year. So at least I have that to help me. But yeah, it's pokeberry season, it's goldenrod season, it's artemisia season, it's New England aster season, it's clean up the food garden, make the pestos. So that stuff, lots of that stuff.
Yeah, it's really a lot at that time of the year, right? Yeah, I actually also made pesto today. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. It's a beautiful day today, which is very welcome, because we've been suffering from the wildfire smoke from Canada. It's now been several months of really rough air, really not clear. So I'm also helping a lot of people and myself with really recurring coughs. Recurring coughs. I've been harvesting a lot of mullein. I love mullein. Is that a plant that you work with there?
Yeah, we have mullein. Yeah. No, I
Yeah.
don't have it growing wild right around me here. It's a bit, yeah, too dry for this area, but a bit more north, I have seen it definitely. And yeah, maybe I still get a chance to harvest some on a little trip.
Yeah, it's so helpful. It's so helpful,
Yeah, it's amazing.
especially for a drop. It is. It's an amazing, and it's an amazing plant. Yeah.
What are your favorite ways to work with mullein? Do you mainly make teas or?
My favorite ways are in full strength infusions, like overnight infusions, and then I do make tincture. Of the leaves and the flowers, and occasionally of the root itself, for some specific purposes. But the leaf and flower I use more widely. And I always make a flower oil of mullein for earaches and ear infections. And I've also found that the laying on the body of mullein leaves is very helpful when there's been trauma, whether it is like a car accident and whiplash, or I actually used it to help someone with lung cancer. We made a beautiful rosette of the leaves on his back, and it relieved his pain, which was quite remarkable. So I like to, whenever possible, actually, I like to combine taking plants internally with putting them on the body externally, either literally or as an oil or in a bath. It's partly healing. Touch is well, touch is healing. Touch with love is healing. But also it's just another way in,
Yeah.
right? From the outside in, inside out.
Yeah, amazing, beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Welcome.
Yeah. So would you like to tell us a bit about the workshops that you have planned here in Portugal?
Oh, I'm just so excited, Tamara. I haven't yet been there, and I'll be working with Olivia Feit, who I know you're friends with, and she has what I think is the best named herbal school I've ever heard. I just wrote her a note and said that the Collective Wonders School, like, what a great name that is. It just says it. And anyway, we are going to be in, let's see, I'm coming the second week in October. All the details are on my site, robinrosebennett.com, as well as the Collective Wonder website. And maybe you can put the notes in the with the podcast for the exact dates. But there's a one-day workshop that we're doing in Sintra that will be three of us teaching it. And it's the morning is coastal foraging. And we're going to walk along the water, the beach, and gather wild foods, because that is what I think her name is Alex. That's what she does. And then we'll have a wild lunch. And then I'll be teaching in the afternoon one of my very favorite things to teach, which is kitchen medicine. I love kitchen medicine. I love incorporating our medicine into our food and finding the wonders of everyday plants like rosemary and so on. And then a few days later on the weekend, we are actually having a retreat at an eco lodge in central Portugal. And this is focused on, we called it the Magic, Medicine, and Mystery of Trees, featuring olive, oak, and hawthorn. And we're very excited about that. And these will be kind of multidimensional workshops, because we're all interested, right, in the physical gifts and the spiritual gifts of the plants. And we'll be very hands-on, and we'll be meditating and walking and observing and connecting, communing with the plants and each other. So I hope you get to come to at least one of them. And then anyone who is listening, you are so welcome to join us. We do still have space. I'm coming a long way, and I would love to work and play with you and meet you. And I'm really excited to be on the land in Portugal and at the ocean there. It's yeah, it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, it's really beautiful. I'm sure you will love it. And yes, I hope to come to the workshop in Sintra, to the one day workshop. Yeah, it sounds really wonderful. Yeah, I put all the information here in the show notes with the links and everything for whoever's interested to join. And yeah, Robin, you also have a new book. I mean, you are the author of many herbal books. What is your newest book about?
So this one is a little different. It's called A Green Witch's Pocketbook of Wisdom, Big Little Life Tips. And it's a beautifully illustrated little pocketbook, not illustrated by me, by a local to me artist. But it's a beautifully illustrated 4x6 book of like one or two lines of a wisdom practice, and then a little bit of explanatory text under it. They're the practices that I've lived by for a long time, and the practices that have really helped me become ever more authentically myself, which is what I hope for everyone, to become authentically who you are, because that's why we're here, and that's what brings joy and peace and a sense of purpose. Because there, once you know who you are, what you wish to do and are born to do, it comes naturally. It's like the exhale that follows the inhale. So these are things I'm hoping will really serve to help people deepen their life and their joy in their life, as they have helped me and continue to help me. These are practices that have withstood the test of time and really, really hold up, like they held up through the intensity of the COVID years. They've gotten me through enormous losses, in my personal life. Yeah, just so I wanted to share them because I'm overflowing with gratitude for, all that I've been given, and I want to share it with others. And I envision people being able to carry it with them because it's little. And one of the things I say in the introduction is, however you want to read it is up to you. I'm thrilled if you're reading it. You might read it, front to back, or you might just open wherever. But one of the things I love to do, and I learned there's a word for it, which I didn't know. I've been doing this for years, which is to ask for a message and open any book at random and just see what I open to. And there is a word for that, and the word is bibliomancy. Bibliomancy. So I thought, Tamara, that it would be fun to do a little practice of bibliomancy on your podcast and just ask for a message that will speak to, people who are listening to our conversation and, spur some be thought-provoking or heart-opening or whatever. So shall I do that now?
Yes, please. That's a lovely idea. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just leafing through the manuscript and just going to see whatever it opens to.
Wonderful.
Ooh, and this is interesting. It says, I wish I could show you the image that goes with it. It's like if you could picture like the green Tara of Buddhism, like it's a very general face, but she's got a spray of red clover, like a crescent moon shape of. Her cheek is nestled, the side of her face is nestled into a spray of red clover. And so here is, this is one of the longest ones in the book, interestingly, but here we go. If the story you're telling yourself is causing you to close your heart, change it to one that invites your heart to open. I'm going to say it again. If the story you're telling yourself is causing you to close your heart, change it to one that invites your heart to open. So that's the wisdom, and then the explanatory text under it. I'm going to read it all because I think this one requires it. Quote, I'll never trust anyone again, unquote, could become trusting someone who betrayed me hurt like hell. Were there signs along the way I didn't want to see? I'll pay attention and listen to my intuition more carefully now. I'm learning to trust myself. With the first choice, you are shutting yourself down, compounding the original wound and hurting yourself, right? I'll never trust anyone again. With the latter choice, I'm learning to trust myself. You are opening up and growing, healing yourself. That's the page I opened to.
Oh, that's yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah. Really great, amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to read the book, to meet
Thank
you in Sintra. And yeah, I can just say thank you for sharing your pearls of wisdom with all of us today. And of course, through your work in all those years and through your books.
you. Thank you too, Tamara.
Yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, hopefully we meet soon.
We'll meet soon, and to everyone, yeah, much love, much peace, and green blessings. And thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Okay, so you find all the info about Robin's book, of course, here in the episode description with links and everything to the pre-launch bonuses, or if the book is already out, you can already buy it. And yeah, you find also the link, of course, to my website, to my email if you want to leave me a comment, a question, whatever it is. I always get such nice feedback from you, and also questions and suggestions about topics. So please don't hesitate and let me know and reach out to me. And of course, if you're interested in a health consultation, I'm available. You can book a free call with me to find out how we can best work together. And yeah, tell me a bit about yourself, have a little meet and greet with me in a short free call. So you can directly go to that link to my calendar and book the call, or send me an email. It's tamara@herbalhelp.net. My website is herbalhelp.net. There you also find more info and a contact form. So yeah, I always love hearing from you. Please don't hesitate to reach out, and maybe I see you in class if you want to sign up for my little membership that supports the production of this podcast, and also because I enjoy just, you know, to be with students and other herbalists. I also love my student mentoring, like I mentioned before. So if you are already a bit advanced in your herbalism studies and you want to take the plunge and dive into practicing as an herbalist, I would love to be your mentor and your guide on this path. Yeah, you can reach out to me and book some one-on-one student mentoring sessions where, yeah, you know, we can discuss cases together. I can help you kind of set up your first steps as a practicing herbalist. And yeah, but also if you're interested in the herbal oils class that is now in October, and if it's already past that date, you can get access to the recording through the Ko-fi membership and to all the other classes about herbal topics. And yeah, we have one live class a month where we meet online via Zoom, so you can ask me directly your questions. And yeah, I would love to see you there. So if you're interested in the topics, the next topic is herbal oils and how to use and make them, then check out the Ko-fi membership link here in the description, and hopefully I see you in class. Okay, until next time, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to check out Robin Rose's book. And yeah, talk to you next time. Bye bye.